Take your Bible, please, and find Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. While you're finding that portion of God's Word, with all the unction and function of my heart, I want to encourage you to be here tonight for the Christmas music, Only Love. Last Thursday evening, the Lakeview Celebration Choir and Orchestra went through the entire musical two times, and I was passing through, and I sat back there at the cross aisle. I was going to just stay for about 5 or 10 minutes, and I got so caught up in it, I stayed for the whole thing. They have worked hard under Jamie's direction and leadership, and you will be blessed, and I encourage you, if possible, to bring someone with you. And this room ought to be filled tonight for this experience of worship that we have before us tonight. Now today I want to talk to you about how to be worry-free. How to be worry-free. Worry is universal. Every nation worries. Every society has people who worry. Every culture is characterized by worry. Every race has worriers. Worry is no respecter of persons. Those who are wealthy worry because they're afraid they're going to lose their wealth. Those who are poor worry because they don't know where the next meal's coming from. Parents have a tendency to worry about their children. Will they choose friends wisely? Will they do well in school? Will they be safe when they're not in my presence? Children, on the other hand, tend to worry about other things, especially when you reach junior high age. You're more concerned about your appearance and will you be accepted by your friends? Worry is not new, but I believe in the last few months, worry is on the rise in our country because of the economic uncertainty which we face today. There are many who are worried today because they're fearful they're going to be laid off from their jobs and will be unable to provide for their families. Some are worried because they've already been laid off from their jobs. Perhaps you're in that category. I know there's some at Lakeview that are. And you have this anxiety about how will I pay my bills and how will I meet my mortgage and how will I put bread on the table for my family members. One time or another, every one of us struggles with worry. But today I want you to see that Jesus said we can be worry-free. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34 is our text, and I invite you to follow along as we look in this portion of God's eternal, infallible, sufficient Word. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I want you to see in this portion of God's Word that three times Jesus said, "Do not worry." We read it in verse 25, we read it in verse 31, we read it again in verse 34. Jesus said, "Do not worry." Now when Jesus said, "Do not worry," He was not giving us a heavenly suggestion, but a divine command. If Jesus says, "Do not worry," and we find ourselves worrying, we have disobeyed Jesus. And the Bible name for disobedience to Jesus is sin. And so what we have here is a clear command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is worry a sin? Because when we worry, we are betraying our lack of trust in the sufficiency of our God. When we worry, we are assuming for ourselves control of that of which we don't need to assume control. But instead, we are to submit to His sovereign plan and trust Him to provide for us. When we worry, we disobey Jesus and we bring dishonor to His name. Now, this word translated worry here and some of the other translations, anxiety or care, really comes from two words. The first word means to divide and the second word means the mind. A person who is characterized by worry, a worrying person has a divided mind. He or she is double-minded. Now, James, in the letter which bears his name, tells us we should not be double-minded, but we are to be single-minded. New Testament scholar Robert Mount said, and I quote, "Worry is practical atheism and is an affront to God." Well, it's pretty easy for Professor Mounts to call us all practical atheists because we have a tendency to worry. But it's not an easy thing necessarily to just say, "Okay, I'm not going to worry." If you and I are going to be worry-free, we have to be knowledgeable about what God says in His Word. I can understand why the pagans worry. Jesus said that's the way they live. The pagans run after these things. The pagans are those who don't know Christ. The pagans are those who don't have a relationship with God. But those of us who have a relationship with God, we have no grounds for worry. But we've got to know this God. And we've got to know what He has said to us, what He has revealed to us in His Word. To be worry-free is not automatic. Just because you and I have confessed faith in Christ and been born of the Spirit of God does not mean that we're going to be worry-free. But in these few verses of Scripture which Jesus gave for us, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus tells us how we can be worry-free. Now, if you want to hang on to your worries, if you just want to continue to be anxious, you want to be fretting about all manner of things, then just tune out the Lord Jesus and the pastor's message on what Jesus had to say. But if you want to be worry-free, let me invite you to just sit up and engage yourself and see what God has to say to us this morning through His holy Word. Now, I want to give you three truths that will guide us as we think about this text about how to be worry-free. If you and I are going to be worry-free, we must first of all remember and know that God considers His children to be of great value. If you are a child of God, if you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, then God is your Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father, the Lord God Almighty, considers you to be of very great value to Himself. Look in verses 25, 26, and 27. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Now look at this next statement in the latter part of verse 26. "Are you not much more valuable than they?" Jesus says, consider the birds of the air. These sparrows that fly about. Consider that the Father in heaven provides for them. I mean, they don't labor, they don't work. They just go gather seeds and go to their nests. And the Father provides for them. They don't have to store things away. If God cares for the birds of the air, will He not care for you? If God provides food for them, if God provides everything they need, are you not much more valuable than the birds of the air? Will God not provide for you? Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. The fact of the matter is, those of us who have a relationship with God through Christ, we do have a heavenly Father. And Jesus says, consider the birds. God provides for the birds what they eat. He cares for them. And then He says, are you not much more valuable than the birds of the air? Let me give you a cross-reference. Look over just a couple pages in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29, 30, and 31. Matthew 10, 29, 30, and 31. Here Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You and I are valuable to God. Mankind is the only being in all of the created order that has been made in the image of God, that has the capacity to fellowship with God, to know God, to experience God. God cares about these sparrows. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without God's knowing about it and being concerned about it being a part of the will of God. We are infinitely more valuable to God than a bird. You remember the old gospel song that we still sing occasionally, His Eyes on the Sparrow, and I Know He Watches Me. The same God whose eye is on the birds of the air is on your life and my life. He knows our circumstances. He knows the frustrations we face. He knows the worries that come our way, and He is concerned about us, and we are valuable to Him. We are of great value to God, and we should rest in that wonderful assurance of our value to God. Charles Swindoll, in one of his books, spoke about this particular passage where Jesus compared our value to God and how sometimes we tend to get things out of whack and we think our value is found in the accumulation of material things. Swindoll said, and I quote, no bird ever tried to build more nests or more extravagant places to live than its neighbor. No fox ever got ticked off because she only had one hole in which to hide and rear her young. No squirrel ever had a coronary because he failed to store enough nuts for two winters instead of one. No bear was ever envious of another bear with a larger cave in which to hibernate. And no dog ever lost a good night's sleep over the fact that he had not laid aside enough bones for his declining years. And then Swindoll concludes, and yet our Heavenly Father takes wonderfully good care of all His creatures. What a waste is worry. No need to worry because God's promised to take care of us. We're valuable to Him, far more valuable than the birds of the air. Now look in verse 27. Then Jesus asked this question, and who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Now, you may have a translation that says, and who of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? You say, why is it different? Well, I suppose the most literal translation would be something like, who can add a single cubit to his life? And so there is some confusion there as to the best way to translate this. But either way, there's no reason to worry. The fact of the matter is, if we take the translation by adding a single cubit to his life, and we say to God, well, God, I'm discontent with the way you made me. I'm too short, and I want you to make me 18 inches taller. Well, you could be a giant if you were 6 feet and you went to 6 feet, 7 feet, 6 inches. But maybe you just want to be 3 or 4 inches taller. Maybe you just, there's some other feature about your body you don't like. Maybe you say, well, my ears are, they're too big or they stick out too much. I don't like my nose. I don't like the color of my eyes. Some feature. That's a sad way to live. Because when we live that way, we are saying to God, God, you did a bad job when you created me. When I was a student in college, I had a friend, a very good friend, who was a gifted preacher and evangelist. In fact, he was recognized on campus as the most gifted preacher of all the preacher boys at Samford University in those days. And I heard him say one time, he said, I knew God had called me to be an evangelist, but he said, I looked at myself and I looked at Billy Graham and I compared myself. He said, now Billy Graham is very tall and I'm short. He said, Billy Graham has long wavy hair, and he said, my hair was already falling out. I knew I was going to be bald like my dad in a few years' time. He said, I just couldn't see myself as evangelist because I didn't look like an evangelist. He said, sometimes I would go down to the basement of my house, and he said, there were some bars down there, some pipes down there. He said, I would hang on those pipes trying to stretch myself so I could be tall and be an evangelist for God. He said, God had to convict me and show me to celebrate the way he made me and not be anxious or worried about that. The fact of the matter is, you can't make yourself taller. Now, you can make yourself wider or thinner, but not taller. But I think probably the best translation is, and who of you by worrying could add a single moment to your life? Could you add an hour? Could you add a day? The fact of the matter is, we cannot. In fact, the more we worry, we may make our lifespan shorter and not longer. The famous physician, Charles Mayo, said, and I quote, "Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system, and profoundly affects the health. I've never known a man who died from overwork, but many who died from doubt." So said Charles Mayo. You can worry about stuff, but it's not going to make you live any longer. So, we don't need to worry. Jesus said, do not worry, because God cares for us. We're of great value to God. Now, let me give you a second truth found here in this passage about why we don't need to worry and how we can be worry-free. Verses 28 through 33, here we understand that God has promised to meet our needs. Now, what's been hinted at here in these early verses is clearly said, spoken here in these verses. God has promised to meet our needs. That is, if we belong to Him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Don't worry about what you have to wear. Just be content with what you have. Now, we might as well go ahead and confess we have far more than we need. But nevertheless, if you just have a little, if you just have clothes for today to cover you, as far as Jesus is concerned, that's enough. Don't be anxious about your clothes, what you're going to wear. God clothes the grass of the field with these lilies. He'll certainly take care of you if you're one of His children. Look again in verse 30. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" There it is. There is the promise of the provision of God in the lives of the children of God. So maybe you're looking at some hard times economically. God says, I'm going to take care of you. There's provision there. Now, what do we need? Well, we need clothes and food. Hold your place here in Matthew chapter 6 and go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 for just a bit. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 8. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, talks about contentment. Paul says in verse 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 and following, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Contentment is found in a relationship with the Lord God Almighty through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and daily bread for today and clothes for today, and anything more than that that we need to make us content is too much. I got a lot more than that. You do as well. So why are we worrying? God's already provided for us. And the God who has provided for us has promised that He will continue to provide for us. Look back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Look there one more time. If God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Our God is a providing God. He meets our needs. Every need we have, He will meet our need. Now, just make sure that your needs are what God says your needs are, and not what Madison Avenue says your needs are. Look in verse 31 and 32. So, do not worry. Here's the second time Jesus says it. So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus said, to be worried about these matters is to adopt the lifestyle of a person who does not know God, a pagan, an unbeliever. But we are the sons and daughters of God. This passage of Scripture as a part of the Sermon on the Mount was given not to the whole world, but Jesus gave it to His followers. He said, when we worry about these matters, we're like unbelievers. Now, the fact of the matter is, if you are an unbeliever, you have every reason to be worried. Because you don't have a Heavenly Father who will provide for you. You're out there on your own. You've got to make it by the sweat of your brow and the skin of your teeth. You've got to roll up your sleeves and you've got to labor and work hard. We all are called to work. But I'm just saying, you're on your own. But for those of us who are the sons and daughters of God, for those of us who are saved ones, we don't have any need to worry. Because we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that our Heavenly Father will care for us. He is the sovereign one. And He provides. Now, the key verse in this whole section is verse 33. It's a verse I'm sure many of you have committed to memory a long time ago. But look in chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and seek first His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, all these things are the things that you and I need for life and godliness. And according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, all we need for life and godliness is food and clothing and a relationship with the Lord through our Savior Jesus. And Jesus said, seek this first. Seek My kingdom first. seek the righteousness which comes to the sons and daughters of God when they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He declares us His righteous children. Seek that. And also seek the practical righteousness which comes from day by day and moment by moment obedience to the promptings of the Spirit of God as revealed in the Word of God. Seek that. Now, to seek first the kingdom of God doesn't mean, okay, God's number one, family's number two, work's number no. To seek first the kingdom of God means that God is preeminent. It means that He is supreme. It means that we come to Him and we lay our lives before Him and we say to the Lord God, You are Lord, You are Master, You are the sovereign ruler of my life. I yield everything I have and everything I know of myself to You. I place myself at Your disposal. Now You do with me, dear God, whatever it is You want to do. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. And the promise of Jesus is if we seek first His kingdom, and if we'll seek to be righteous as He is righteous, all these things we need, all the things we tend to be anxious about and fretful about and worry about, all of those things will be provided. He is our all-sufficient provider. God has promised to meet our needs. He has promised to meet our needs because He cares about us, because we're valuable to Him. He has made us in His image and He has purchased us with the blood of His Son. We are twice His by creation and also by redemption. So we have no reason to be anxious. Now, there's a third truth found in verse 34 as we think about do not worry. Not only are we valuable to God, and not only has God promised to meet our needs, but number three, verse 34 teaches us God is in control of our future. It's easy for us to be anxious about our future. We live in an age of militant Islamic terrorism. Our country was attacked. And American embassies and American people around the world have been attacked by terrorists in other places. Some of our missionaries have been killed by terrorists. It's a dangerous world. We're concerned about the economy. What's going to happen there? You know, when I was a child, there were things to be frightened of then. I remember the days of the Cuban Missile Crisis. I must have been about 6th or 7th grade, maybe. And I remember, we were told it's very likely that we're going to be engaged in a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. And we had these civil defense drills at school. Put yourself under the desk. It was frightening. And it could have happened. But we need to remember that everything that happens is under the sovereign control of God. This world is not spinning out of control. Whether it's war, whether it's famine, whether it's terrorism, whether it's the economy, God is at work. He is sovereignly at work in this world. And He is bringing all of history to a great climax when Jesus comes back. Now, you and I are not immune to pain and suffering and sickness and death, and it very well may be that this very city could experience a terrorist attack. But there's no reason to be anxious about that. We go to heaven earlier, maybe, than we wanted to go. But why are we trying to stay out of heaven? We say it's a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face in 55 years. I want to see You, Jesus, not today. And so we get all anxious and worried and upset about the future. Fact of the matter is, worry does not take trouble away, but it empties today of today's strength and joy. Look in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Have you ever noticed that probably 95% of the things we tend to worry about are things that haven't yet happened? Tomorrow, next week, next year. It's out there in the future. The dark, foreboding, fearful future. When I was a child, there was an occasion every year when I would just go into I'd just go off the charts with worry for 2 days. When I was a child growing up, we had an experience every year when the county health nurse would visit our school to give us our booster shots. She never missed. I mean, sometimes we'd get, just 3 weeks away from the school year, we're thinking, we're not going to have to get the shot this year. She forgot about us. In our place, my sister and I, we always got the shots. My dad said, they're free, son, you need them. We don't turn down free stuff. So every year, Mr. Nipper, our principal, would come over the intercom somewhere in the year and say, now, boys and girls, on Thursday, Mrs. Johnson. That's all he had to say, Mrs. Johnson. I'd seen her the year before and the year before that and the year before that. All those years I'd seen her. She was not a pretty sight to see. She looked mad at the world every time she came. And Thursday, Mrs. Johnson will be here to give us our booster shots. Now, if you want to be excused, you have to have written permission from your parents. Well, fat chance at our house. I hated to get a shot in those days. I hated, that needle sticking in your arm, and then it was sore for a couple of days. I hated that. Well, as soon as our principal would make the announcement, I was no good to the world for the next two days and two nights. I couldn't think. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't study. I was just so worried about how that shot was going to hurt. And the day would come, and we'd get in line, and we'd line up, and we'd get that shot, and it would sting. But all that 2 days and two nights of worry did not make that shot hurt any less. That's what worry does. It empties today of today's strength, but it doesn't solve tomorrow's issues. Just remember, God is in control of my future and your future and our future. He's sovereignly in control of this, His universe. We can trust Him. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39 is one of the summit peaks of all of Holy Scripture. Romans 8. Paul asked these questions, and the answers are obvious. Romans 8, 31. After talking about God's eternal purpose in conforming us to the likeness of His Son, Jesus, predestined us and justifying us. Verse 31, it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you and God is for me, it doesn't matter who's against us. God's for us. He's on our side. He's our provider and our protector. Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? If God will send His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, He's going to take care of the lesser matters that we tend to be anxious about. Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. And who is He that condemns? Jesus Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Isn't it good to know that even as we gather in this worship experience, that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father, and He is interceding for you by name before the throne in heaven? That's pretty special knowledge right there. How can you be anxious and worried when the Son of God is praying for you? These are not just accidents that happen to us. This is God is at work. Let's read on. Verse 35. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, you got some trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither anything, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. It pretty much sums it up. Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the promise of the Word of God. If you don't know that, it's pretty simple for to slip into anxiety and worry. But if you know that and you stand on that and by faith you appropriate that promise, then you don't have to be worried. Let me give you one more, then I'm done. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4. It sounds almost like what Jesus said in Matthew 6, except this time Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. That's pretty all-encompassing. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried about it. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. How do we deal with anxiety? How do we deal with worry? We come into the presence of the Lord God, knowing the Word of God, having searched the Scriptures for a word from God about our issues, and we come in prayer and we yield to His sovereign lordship over us. We come thanking Him for the circumstances that we face because we know that this is all a part of the refining hand of God to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the promise here in verse 7? And the peace of God. If you're worried, you don't have the peace of God. If you have the peace of God, you're not worried. Either you have the peace of God or you don't. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What are you saying? Well, when Paul wrote that, he was probably down on the French Riviera, taking a suntan. Paul wrote those words from prison. How can a man write from prison? You can have the peace of God, which will guard your heart and mind. Because he knew God. And the fact of the matter is, it's not just simply a matter of steps about how to be worry-free. It's a matter of just clinging to God. Clinging to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is enough. If we have Jesus, we have everything we need. And when we get anxious about all these matters, it's because we've taken our focus and we've taken it away from Jesus and we put our focus on our circumstances. And quite frankly, the circumstances can be pretty anxiety-ridden. And so what I'm going to encourage all of us to do is to take our focus and just zero in on the Lord Jesus Christ. As a friend said to me when I was a college student many years ago, you can either focus on your problems or you can focus on the problem solver, and that's the Lord Jesus. Now, how do we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ? We search the Scriptures. If you want to know Him, if you want to be close to Him, you have to search the Scriptures. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Psalms. The Psalms declare to us every imaginable emotion that the human heart could have. If you are anxiety-ridden, I commend to you the Word of God. And let the Spirit of God take the Word of God and put your focus back on the sinless Son of God, who will give you peace that passes human understanding. I want to say one other thing before I'm done. And that's, you can't cast your cares on the Lord until first you've cast your sins upon the Lord. Because until you cast your sins upon the Lord, until you embrace Jesus as your Lord and Redeemer and Savior, then God is not your Father in heaven. And all the promises set forth in Matthew chapter 6 and throughout the Scriptures are not yours until Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Have you embraced Him? That's some good news for you. You can be saved today. I know most of us in this room are already saved, but I know some of us in this room need to be saved. You can be saved today. Maybe this is your first time to ever walk in this room. You can be saved today. You say, what I need to do to be saved? Repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. We turn from our sins and we put our trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we become the sons and daughters of God. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer and we're going to stand and sing. If you want to trust Jesus, you can do it. I'm going to invite you to slip out of your seat and come down one of these aisles, come to one of our pastors and say, I want Christ in my life. I want to be saved. But I want to also say to some of you who are struggling with worry, this can be one of those hinge moments in your life when you turn away from your anxieties and you turn to Christ. You can cast your care on Jesus. And it may be that in the providence of God, the best thing for you to do to drive that stake down is to just slip out of your seat and come to this altar and just kneel and just spend some time praying to God. And if you want someone to pray with you, we'll find someone to pray with you. You just want to talk to God alone, that's fine. But don't leave here anxious. God's in control. We just need to surrender to His sovereign rule. Let's pray. God in heaven, I ask